Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football inclusive.
Welcome to All Access Football. I'm your show host, Bo Marchant. Today we're joined with Chris Hovind, free agent, the former Boston College Eagle. He's kind enough to take some time. You're stuck in the airport up in Detroit, so a kind of a hectic morning to you, jumping around flights trying to get back to Tampa, huh, Chris?
I don't know how people do this on a daily basis, man. You know, guys flying from Tampa, usually connecting in Atlanta, but we got stuck in thunderstorms here, and I just missed the gate by 5 minutes, so... not the best luck today.
And real quick, before we get into the talking football, did the gate agent say anything? Like, you know, 5 minutes prior to that? I mean, they were just like, there's no go, you're just stuck?
He's like, the gate's closed. I'm like, well, the plane didn't even take off yet. And he's like, well, FAA regulations. I'm like, there's 25 people supposed to be on this flight, but of course I'm going to lose every time.
Excellent. Well, hey, man, I mean, you know what's going on. This offseason, the lockout this last week's been crazy with signings and a lot of new rules. I'm interested to get your take on some of the stuff on the player side of things with less practices and less team workouts, pads, et cetera. Where do you think that's going to lead? I mean, is that better for you guys, or is that going to affect the product on the field at all?
No, I don't feel so, because the OTAs were implemented back in 2003, and they were designed to be teaching tools, no pads, go through and walkthroughs and whatnot. And it's elevated to these practices with just helmets on, but it's like a second training camp. They have 15, 16 OTAs in the offseason plus heavy lifting. You know, they really have to break the season up a little bit, because guys are really banged up after the season, and all of a sudden the coaches and the general managers want to get the players in the field so they can evaluate who they want to keep before the draft. And I think it's very, very detrimental to players, because, you know, when you're trying to get your body right, and all of a sudden you're getting thrown back on the field for practice evaluations, I think that we took the steps needed to reduce that.
And do you think maybe, I mean, there's so much made of guys not being at, you know, the facilities working out. I talk with enough guys, they kind of share the sentiment that, you know, it's kind of like a time for their bodies to heal. Do you think we actually might have a little bit healthier guys? It might be the opposite of what people are predicting, that guys might be a little healthier because their bodies actually have healed up finally over the beatings they've taken over the years?
Well, the professionals go work out. You know, a lot of the athletes feel that, you know, they can work out for 2 months in the offseason and all of a sudden just jump back into football. And that's how you hurt your hamstrings or your quads, your calves, because you haven't been training your body for what it's about to go through. I just think that, you know, with different athletes going to different facilities, I've been over at USF in an internship in the weight room, and we've had almost the whole Buccaneer team come on over, whether they use the field or the weight room, and you should see the drastic gains some of these young men made. So as long as they're under a watchful eye and they have some of the teammates around them to motivate them, I think the players would be all right.
Excellent. Once again, Chris Hovind, a first-round pick for the Minnesota Vikings back in 2000, kind enough to join us here on All Access Football. Chris, when you'd be entering your 12th season, I mean, what do you think this upcoming year holds for you? I mean, we're going to see you in pads. I mean, what's the prediction?
Well, we're going to see you right now, because right now I've been working over at USF, and I started out helping out with spring ball, and now I've been entering there in the weight room under Coach Mike Golden, who was previously at East Carolina. But, you know, I really believe in a lot of the philosophies that he has with the Olympic lifts and getting guys bigger, stronger, and faster. And who knows, you know, what will happen. Because the free agency period was at such a stall for so long, I'm not going to be the first or the second wave of free agents. I understand that. But, you know, we'll see. And right now, you know, thankful to Skip Holtz and, you know, the University of South Florida and Coach Mike Golden for taking me in and letting me learn.
Yeah, and so, I mean, if when football on the playing field is over, is this an avenue you're going to go down, looking into coaching or strength and conditioning, that type of avenue?
Yes. You know, the thing is, you know, as much as you want to get away from it, they keep pulling you back in. And I love this sport. I love the camaraderie that goes with this sport. I love how guys can go out there and sell out and sell their bodies out, but not only for themselves but for their teammates and the cause of winning, you know, that big game, whether it be the Big East Championship or, you know, going to the National Championship. And it's just great to see the process that these young men go through, because we were there for 2.5-3 months of the summer, and just to see them where they're at right now, it's astonishing. And I feel that, you know, once my career is over, yes, I am going to go into coaching, because it's something that I have a passion, I have a love for, I have a desire for, and it's time for me to give back. This game has been so great to me, and it's time for me to give my tutelage to some of these young defensive linemen, so I'm very excited about the opportunity.
And you talked about working with a lot of Buccaneers and young men over the last 3 months. Seeing these guys work out and knowing what's ahead of them, some of the guys that you might have seen up close, who are the names that kind of stick out that might actually take that next step and really showcase their talents when the season starts?
Well, you know, if you don't say Josh Freeman, you're a fool. Josh Freeman, is, you know, he's on the verge of becoming one of those elite quarterbacks. And it's just great to see an athlete and a man like Josh Freeman who holds himself in the community, no DUIs, no arrests, none of that baggage that comes along with a lot of other players. And you need it to be a quarterback. You have to be the staple of that organization. So I think Josh is going to be heads and toes above a lot of other people. He's going to surprise some people, and I wouldn't be shocked if he went to the Pro Bowl this year.
Excellent. That's a bold word by Chris Hovind, but he would know. He comes from that D-line position, 11 years of football in the National Football League, joining us here on All Access Football. Dude, it is a long time. And I'm curious, man, when you first got in the league, what are some of the things that you did when you first got in that you thought maybe were a must, maybe like something you did in the off season or during the season, but things you kind of went away from, and what have you learned that you should have done back then that you do now?
Well, I mean, I was dedicated. When I first got to the NFL, I wanted to be the best. And I feel like I'm a good player. I was never an elite player, but I was a hard nose, and you know, what you see is what you got on Sundays. When I first got to Minnesota, I saw John Randall, and I said to myself, I need to do whatever he's doing plus, because he set the standard. Him and Warren Sapp set the standard as the three technique in the NFL, and I felt that if I could put my hand in his back pocket and absorb everything that he had to teach me, whether it be on the field or off the field, I could take that with my own philosophy and create my own vision of who I wanted to be. So it was great that I had such a mentor in John Randall. The Bucs don't really have that right now. They have, you know, Jerry McCoy, Rory Miller, the two defensive ends who are rookies. But where's that staple, that veteran defensive line presence in that room? And I think that's really a must. When you put so many young guys together, whether you draft them high, draft them low, or whatnot, the coach can only do so much. They can teach, they can do the chalk talk and whatnot, but the veteran players can also relay that in football terms, in terms that these young men will know. So I really feel that if you have that veteran presence that mix in that room, that's the best way to formulate your defensive line.
Excellent. And talking about a guy like John Randall, he was inducted in the Hall of Fame last year. I mean, you kind of have that, I don't want to say a cult following, but, I mean, everyone knows that hair and you know, that lunch pail type mentality. I mean, do you kind of embrace that? I mean, you think that's how kind of people envision you? I mean, you're not going to go down as the greatest defensive lineman ever, but you definitely have a fan base where you say Chris Hovind, they know, oh, yeah, I love Chris Hovind.
Well, you know, I mean, I appreciate anybody who respected my work on the field, because I knew on Sundays that, you know, people had labeled me as an overachiever, lunch pail guy, all the type of characteristics of not being an athlete, and I embrace that though, and I had a chip on my shoulder every day, because people would always say that, you know, he could do this, but he's not really this, he's not tall enough, blah 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 blah, and I took that, and I had a real chip on my shoulder, and I did it, you know, and I took that to work every day when I was working out, when I was watching film, I had to do extra, because the athletes, so to say, would always leave early. So I would say, you know, I would always stay an hour after, and I would ask questions, and I would hang around John Randall. I would try to absorb as much as I could within the Vikings building and the Tampa Bay Buccaneer building as I could, because it made it that much easier on Sunday. The more you know, the more prepared you are, the faster you play on Sunday.
Excellent. Chris Hovan, 11 years in the NFL. I'm curious, Chris, a lot was made last season with Roger Goodell handing out fines, especially with James Harrison and other Steelers on hits to the head. I mean, is it that hard? I mean, you played the position. You know firsthand. How hard is it to, when you're about to, you know, implode on a guy, you know, to adjust last second because you really don't know what he's going to do? I mean, where does the NFL go with this? Is this a good move? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I really feel it, that you're slowing the game down because as a defensive player, I mean, I was taught when I was, you know, in third grade, fourth grade, playing peewee football, it's seek to kill. And that quarterback, whenever we play, you always want to knock that quarterback. I don't care what anybody said. We never try to do this, we never try to do that. But if you cut the head off the chicken, then the whole offense is going to go down. Just look at Tom Brady. But Matt Castle did a good job stepping in, but when you take that guy out, all of a sudden everybody's going to freak out because that's the mainstay. But the NFL, you know, are protecting the quarterbacks the same way that they're protecting, they say, defenseless receivers. So it's very hard as a defensive player because toward the end of the season, a lot of the guys turned it down when they could have had vicious hits. But that's the way the game's supposed to be played. Dick Butkus played it this way. Jack Lambert played it this way. And these guys set the standard, and it's a violent game. When you sign that contract, you're going against grown men, and these grown men have mortgages, and these grown men have families, and they're going to fight for what they want. And you have to bring that same intensity, that same violence, and it's really hard to turn it down when you have all those factors in your head, and you have to worry about fines. I really think it's going to slow guys down mentally in the game.
And any aftermath of that, of slowing down the game, do you think that leads to more, like, injuries or anything else, or just the worst product on the field?
Well, you know, it could be a combination of both. I mean, guys, when they turn it down, you're never supposed to just come to a complete stop when you're running because that's how you pull hamstrings and calves. We're always taught to run through the ball carrier, take him and run through because you don't want that receiver or that back getting yards after hit. And that's just the way the game's supposed to be played. If guys start turning it down, who knows what's going to happen because I always felt my philosophy – if I screwed up on the play, no matter what it was, as long as I was going 100 miles per hour, I was fine.
Excellent. And if you can follow Chris at Hovan Live, Hovan Live, on his Twitter account. Twitter is fun. I mean, a great way to get news. How much do you Twitter? I know, you know, I follow you. I mean, how much are you out there tweeting in a day? How much are you checking the tweets from others?
Well, it's kind of difficult when I'm over at USF training athletes because I really don't want to have my phone on me. But when I have some downtime, I get a lot of tweets and I try to respectfully answer everybody and even give my own opinion. But it's a great avenue to get yourself out there to get your thoughts, to get your philosophies and what you're feeling. Sometimes it can be detrimental if you say the wrong thing, but at the same time, you know that too. But at the same time. You know, if you go out there and you respect other people's opinions and take their comments, and, you know, sometimes you have to take them with a grain of salt because sometimes they're bad. But, you know, everybody's got an opinion. That's just the way this world is. I mean, that's a great thing about freedom of speech, man.
Excellent. And I'm curious, I mean, back in 2000, it seemed like this thing was going pretty good. The combine and the draft was really starting to blow up, but now it's on prime time. I always say that was a night for Dr. Huxtable and the Crosby Show, but now it's the NFL draft. I mean, can you believe where this has come from? Even, I mean, you know, 10, 11 years ago when you went through this process, the just how much more it's grown?
It's unfathomable the way it's grown. I mean, to look at a business that's making $9 billion a year, that's insane. But I remember when I came on the draft, ESPN was the only channel that was carrying the draft. And now you have, you know, the NFL Network, and you have all these websites. And with the social media network, it has blown up. It's the most popular sport in the world. I'm not really sure about soccer over in the other countries, but it is the most popular sport in the world. It's America's pastime. You know, baseball used to have that mantra, but it's turned. I mean, football. I mean, look at the draft. How many people watch the draft? 40 million people watch the draft.
Exactly.
And it's insane. Baseball doesn't get that many people. The only time people watch baseball is in the playoffs. So it's such a valuable product. I'm glad we got the CBA done because the fans deserve it. This is a fan game. They pay for our salaries, and they deserve to see football on those Sundays when it's time to relax.
And you know, we were talking about this game and how it's grown. I always kind of joke around too. It's kind of like we changed in those baggy uniforms of baseball to the Under Armour of a Ray Lewis commercial. I mean, when you look at the guys on the field today, are there any guys that you kind of marvel at? Guys you really appreciate? Guys that you would pay yourself to go see on Sunday?
Yes. I mean, for me, I'm always a pass rush guy. I like to see guys rush. I like to see guys, you know, turn it up. And two guys who I think really stand on my mind is Adonai Sue, who is a man amongst boys right now, because the question was, you know, could he translate to the NFL? Well, yes, he did translate. He was a Pro Bowler with 10 sacks. Pretty good. And he's really throwing offensive guards. He hasn't made much moves. He engages, throws them, which is so impressive for a young man of that stature to come into the NFL. And the second guy who I really like to watch is Cameron Wake. This is a CFL product. He plays in a 3-4 down in Miami. Yeah, and he had, 16 and a half sacks last year?
Yeah, and he had about 150 while he was in Canada.
I mean, yeah, and you know, he's done so well for himself. There's questions on, you know, could he make the transition from the Canadian League? And right now he's got to be one of the top pass rushers in a 3-4 or a 4-3.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Wake was a guy that we kind of pushed heavy here at the Draft Bible, and you know, when he finally got that chance to play with the Dolphins, and obviously, like you said, he's shining and definitely getting it done from that outside linebacker spot. You know, Chris, just talking to you, and you know, it's not like you've not been around this for a while. I mean, definitely the charisma and the personality to do radio or TV. Is that something you think you would ever go down an avenue?
Well, you know, it's always good to have another tool in my tool belt. It's taken me a long time to be able to, you know, get my points out and really be positive. And sometimes I have to be negative, but at the same time, I'm always honest and I'm always fair. I learned that a long time ago when I got into this sport. The two things that you want that you want to be is honest and fair, and that can translate over to the radio as well. Some issues I do have a problem with, and some issues I don't. But I'm always going to speak my mind. Because I feel that's the best way that analysis can really really tag football. Because, you know, a lot of people are thinking what I'm saying, and sometimes it's refreshing to hear a man who has gone through the war, gone through the trenches, speak his mind and tell the truth. Because it seems like there's a lot of gray area sometimes. People are trying to be, you know, very political, which they have to be sometimes for different stations. But I really feel that the public knows that, you know, a lot of it gets covered up and a lot of wishwash. But at the same time, if I'm given an opportunity after football, who knows? But it's always good to have that tool in that tool belt.
Excellent. We got a couple minutes left, Chris. I wanted to share a story with you and get your thoughts. I did a show with Beano Cook, and he said years ago that he was in a place called Rocky River, Ohio. I'm in Youngstown, Ohio, so you know, you're familiar with it, I'm sure. You're playing your high school football
day.
Oh,
yeah, the Penguins.
Yes, sir.
And, baby.
But Beano Cook, after the show, he called me and he goes, "You're from Youngstown." I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Is it true that there's a place called Rocky River, Ohio?" He goes, "I heard about that years ago," and he was blown away. Is that kind of crazy?
It is crazy because I grew up in Cleveland. I grew up right by the West Side Market. And we did move to Rock River, and my parents still live there. But I always had a problem when they were doing the pictures and the profiles for the programs for the year. And every time they'd always say I was from Rocky River, Ohio. And I always tell them, change it to Cleveland. No one wants to see Rocky River, Ohio.
Excellent. Well, hey, Chris, we hope you finally make it down to Tampa. We know you're stuck in the airport. The thunderstorms are shutting you down. And anytime that you want to come back on All Access Football, we'd love to have you back. Best of luck moving forward. Hope to see you on the field. And if not, then we'll be seeing you training guys making that next step towards the NFL.
I can't thank you enough for letting me be on your show. Everybody's listening, go to www.holvanlive.com. We just opened up this new website. About myself, about what's going on, and just gives a chance to, you know, fans to interact and it's all part of that social networking buzz. So if you check it out, I appreciate it. Thank you, sir, for letting me be on your show.
Thanks a lot. And once again, Chris Hovan joining us here on All Access Football. Remember, you can check him out at www.chrishovanlive.com, and then you can follow me on Twitter at hovanlive.com. And like I say, one of the great guys, one of the best decade, one of the top defensive guys to watch. definitely brought a lot of spirit, a lot of energy to that position. I think that's why people walked away appreciating what he does when he's on the field. I'm your show host, Bo Marchand. As always, we appreciate you taking some time listening to the All Access Football Show. Remember, if you caught this show late and you definitely don't want to miss this one, go back to www.nfldraftbible.com, and there you can listen to this podcast in its entirety. Thanks for listening.